Good morning. I will call to order this hearing of the House Health, Finance, and Policy Committee. Today is January 24th, and we do have a quorum. The first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes of January 19th, 2023. Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Chair Liebling. I have reviewed the minutes from January 19th, and I move the approval of the January 19th, 2023 Health, Finance, and Policy Committee meetings.
Thank you. And is there any discussion to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of approval of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails, and the minutes are approved. So, members, we have today we're going to hear House File 16, and Representative Hollins is here. I'm going to ask her to come up. And before she begins her presentation, first of all, the chair will move House File 16 to be re-referred to the Commerce, Finance, and Policy Committee. Is that correct, Representative Hollins?
That is correct.
Okay, and before we go further, I just would like to, again, kind of remind the audience, I think this is another bill that raises strong feelings on both sides, and just want to remind everyone that we want to be respectful to each other, we want to listen to each other, allow each other to have our say, and ask the audience to, just reminding the audience, we don't allow outbursts of applause or booing or signs or other kinds of interruptions here in the committee room. So what we're going to do today is proceed with the bill, and then we're going to have, we have testifiers, a lot of testifiers. We're going to call them. I'll help folks know when you're going to be, when your turn is coming so you can be ready. And I think it's going to be 2 minutes per person so that we can get through everyone. So the bill is before us, and there is an author's amendment, the A7. And Representative Hollins, did you want to put that on the bill to have it in the form in which you'd like to have it discussed?
Yes, I would, Chair Liebling.
Okay. And staff reminds me that the amendment is to the first engrossment. So on behalf of Representative Hollins, I will move the A7 amendment, and let's see, to the first, to House File 16, the first engrossment, which is what it says, in fact. Representative Hollins, did you need to say anything about the amendment before we adopt that?
Certainly. I can provide a little bit of context. So this amendment was a change based on feedback that we got from medical professionals to include the word practice and treatment within the scope of conduct that's described, so not just counseling.
All right. So is there any discussion to the A7 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of adoption of the A7, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails, and the A7 is adopted. So Representative Hollins, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Chair Liebling, and thank you, members of the committee. I am here today with a long overdue bill to ban conversion therapy in our state. As we sit here today in a committee dedicated to health, I can't help but think of the Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm. So-called conversion therapy unquestionably violates that oath. Conversion therapy includes a range of dangerous and discredited practices that try to change a person's sexual orientation. And these practices have very real and very serious consequences. People who experience conversion therapy were almost twice as likely to think about suicide and to attempt suicide compared to their peers who hadn't experienced conversion therapy. Conversion therapy has also been shown to lead to depression, decreased self-esteem, self-harm, and substance abuse. I also want to be very clear. Conversion therapy is not therapy at all. It has been denounced by every mainstream medical and mental health association, including the American Medical Association, American Psychological Association, and the American Academy of Pediatrics. Furthermore, 20 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and more than 75 cities nationwide have restricted this harmful practice. Despite the overwhelming rejection from the medical and psychological institutions, approximately 7% of the LGB people in the U.S. have experienced conversion therapy. 81% really received it from a religious leader, and 31% received it from a healthcare provider. And some people received them from both religious leaders and healthcare providers. This bill seeks to prevent children, teens, young adults, and vulnerable adults from being coerced into treatments which are ineffective, expensive, and dangerous. It also seeks to help prevent desperate parents from being taken advantage of by deceptive providers in the conversion therapy industry. We must move past the idea that queer people can choose their sexuality and gender identity and let them show up as their full, glorious, authentic selves. Minnesota has long been a champion for LGBTQ rights, and we have the chance to continue leading on this issue by passing this bill. I'm joined today by a number of wonderful testifiers, and I hope you will listen to their story and hear their stories. To the community, thank you so much for being here. Chair Liebling, I would like to turn over the rest of my time to those testifiers.
All right. Thank you, Representative Hollins. So we're going to start with Dr. Angela Katie Gepford. Welcome to the committee. And the next will be Dr. David Kirby.
Good morning. Good morning, Chair Liebling and committee members. My name is Dr. Angela Cade Gepford. I'm a pediatrician, the chief education officer, and the medical director for the gender health program at Children's Minnesota. I'm happy to be here today on behalf of Children's Minnesota to voice our support for House File 16 banning conversion therapy for children and vulnerable adults. As the largest pediatric healthcare system in our state, we care for LGBTQ kids in our hospitals, our primary and specialty care clinics, and our emergency departments. And as a kid expert, I can certainly join the chorus of voices that you will hear today that will so clearly outline that so-called conversion therapy is not effective, evidence-based, or ethical, and that this has caused harm to patients and families. Instead, I want to share a slightly different point today. In addition to my professional titles and many opportunities for leadership, I'm also a 23-year resident of this state. I have been caring for kids as a pediatrician here for 17 years. I have educated teams who have taught 75% of the doctors who take care of kids in this state. I am a parent to three amazing kids. I am a basketball coach of first grade boys, one of whom is my son, and I am a proud member of the LGBTQ community. Had I been exposed to conversion therapy and told that I needed fixing rather than embraced by my parents when I came out at age 19, I may not sit before you today, because more than one in four young adults exposed to conversion therapy will attempt suicide. What our LGBTQ kids need more than anything is more role models like me. They need more messages that they are perfect just the way they are, and that they have valuable gifts to contribute to this state and to the world. Indeed, that is what all kids in the state of Minnesota need and deserve. So let's pass House File 16 and send a clear message to our LGBTQ youth that they are loved and celebrated for exactly who they are. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Dr. David Kirby, and please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony. Welcome to the committee. And just so folks are aware, we are timing everyone for 2 minutes, so please go ahead.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is David Kirby, doctor of psychology for almost 30 years now, and I am opposed to this bill. This bill is a tale of two contradictory parts. The first part insists that we must ban coercive professional therapy for minors. What licensed professional doesn't agree with that? Counseling is about caring for our clients and working as their servants to achieve their goals and not ours. We all learned that in grad school. The first part of this bill is totally superfluous because all licensed professionals are already governed by the ethics of their state board. For example, the APA states under standard 3.04, do not harm, that the psychologists must never harm their clients by engaging in torture, and I quote, by which severe pain or suffering, whether physical or mental or intentionally inflicted on a person. So if this bill is unnecessary, why is it showing up? In short, the first part of this bill is actually the smoke that distracts us from the fire. The second part, which appears to be telling mental health professionals what they cannot do. The real target, however, is minor clients and what they can and cannot do. The first part of the bill demands that we ban authoritarian coercion in counseling. But then the second part, in the spirit of authoritarian coercion, insists that minors cannot choose their goals in counseling, even if they have been sexually abused. Only the government and a certain interest group can dictate their goals. Does anyone see a dangerous double standard here? This bill speaks out of both sides of its mouth. HF 16 demands that gay-affirming counseling must be the law of the land, and anything else is illegal, outlawed. This bill is implicitly contradictory and discriminatory and does the opposite of caring for and protecting the health care of all minors. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Kat Rohn and then Dr. Paul Post. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning. Thank you, Representative Hollins, Chair Liebling, and all of our esteemed committee members. My name is Kat Rohn. I am a Minnesota resident and have been for over 20 years, and I serve as Executive Director for Outfront Minnesota, our state's largest LGBTQ plus advocacy organization. I offer my personal and organizational support for HF 16. This bill will protect vulnerable Minnesotans, and it sends a message to the LGBTQ community members across the state that we are valued for who we are. Every major medical association, including the American Medical Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, American Psychiatric Association, American Psychological Association, the National Association of Social Workers, and numerous others, have repudiated both the premise and practice of so-called conversion therapy and recognize the real harms it can cause. Shame, guilt, and aversion are not care practices. And they stand in stark contrast to the LGBTQ Minnesotans proudly leading vibrant and productive lives as our full and authentic selves. Before I move forward, I'd like to take a moment to address questions raised in the last hearing for this bill around gender-affirming care. Let me be clear, the two practices could not be more different. Gender-affirming care is evidence-based, follows established international standards of care, and has clear support of every major medical organization in this country. I welcome conversations with any representatives who would like to understand that topic better, but it stands in contrast to the pseudo-scientific practices we are addressing today. Today, we have an opportunity to join with a clear consensus of the professional medical community in calling for an end to this so-called conversion therapy. It is time to step up and protect vulnerable Minnesotans from these harmful practices so that when Minnesotans seek care, we can be assured it is competent, effective, and evidence-based. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Dr. Paul Post, and the next will be Tanner Mobley. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Paul Post, MD, and I practiced as a family physician in the state of Minnesota for 40 years. As a physician, I oppose, I'm in opposition to HF 16. We are in an era when the current trend in medicine is to only practice evidence-based medicine. This bill seeks to converge, quote, conversion therapy, which is a provocative, pejorative, and ill-defined term, which attempts to lump all therapy that seeks to help an individual dealing with sexual orientation as a cruel form of aversive therapy. It is a jamming tactic that combines both anti-religious illusions, conversion, implicitly forced, along with intimidation against therapists who allow patient-directed investigation of possible change. There is very little evidence that the aversive form of therapy implied in the bill actually occurs in the setting of licensed behavioral therapists. In the past, it has been done by some lay people, but there is no way to regulate these individuals anyway. However, the medical literature does document tens of thousands of cases with appropriate therapy by licensed therapists where, with work on uncovering, exploring, and healing past wounds, many with SSA, same-sex attraction, slowly develop OSA, opposite-sex attraction. Surprisingly, it does not go the other way, OSA to SSA. The lone exception to this is where OSA males were sexually molested and thus wounded by their male therapist. If this bill is passed, it would put a limit on treatment options available to patients and therapists. It would deprive adults and children of the freedom to set their own counseling goals and objectives and will likely drive some children and adults to suicide by forbidding therapy for underlying issues. I urge you not to pass this bill. I've included references for the studies I cited in my written testimony if you would like to check those. Thank you.
Thank you. Tanner Mobley, followed by Pastor Darren Meal and Rhonda Meal. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Tanner Mobley, and I'm here today testifying on behalf of the Trevor Project, the world's largest organization dedicated to suicide prevention and crisis intervention for LGBT young people. Our organization served over 3,900 contacts in Minnesota last year, which we estimate is just a portion of the 32,000 young people who considered suicide here in the state, LGBT young people in the state. To further our mission of ending LGBT youth suicide, Trevor is dedicated to seeing the end of practices commonly referred to as conversion therapy. We stand with every reputable medical, mental health organization in condemning these practices as harmful, ineffective, and unethical. At Trevor, we have direct experience and extensive research observing the dangers of these practices. In our 2022 national survey, which reflects responses from more than 30,000 LGBT young people, we found that 6% reported experiencing conversion therapy, and an additional 11% have been threatened with it. Those youth who either experienced or were threatened with conversion therapy were more than twice as likely to attempt suicide. Our counselors don't ask about conversion therapy directly when a youth calls us in crisis, but in the last year, 1,300 contacts from more than 600 cities raised the issue themselves. And finally, these practices also have drastic financial impacts on families and our country. In 2022, a peer-reviewed journal of the American Medical Association used health economics to find the annual direct cost of conversion therapy in the U.S. to be $650 million. Worse, the indirect associated costs with treating the negative health consequences of conversion therapy was found to be $8 billion. Thank you so much for taking up this important issue and acting to protect young people from these dangerous practices.
Thank you for your testimony. Pastor Darren, I'm sorry if I said your name wrong. Meal, you'll have to tell me. And Rhoda Meal, they asked to come up together. So welcome to the committee. And please say your name for the record. I'm sorry if I mispronounced it. And I don't know, there are other chairs. Okay. All right, we're good. Please introduce yourself and go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. My name is Rhoda Mel. And my name is Rhoda Mel, and I've been married to my husband here, Pastor Darren Mel, for the past 17 years. We have two wonderful children, Sebastian and Esther. We are a family that wouldn't exist if it weren't for the sanctifying grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I met my husband when he was living as a gay man. We met each other through a friend that Darren once dated, and I was also dating at the same time. We both came to renewed faith in Jesus Christ as our friendship grew, and I was there when Darren was going through questioning his gay sexuality. I was there when he broke up with a guy that he was dating for several years, and I was there when Darren was hooking up with other guys over and over and was conflicted in his faith about doing so. Even though both of us fully know well he was struggling with his sexual identity, Darren decided to pursue a relationship with me out of faith and love. Me acting out of faith, I said yes, and we both stepped out in faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. I was there when Darren proposed to me at Valley Fair in Minnesota on a stage in the theater in front of all of my employees and our family. I was there when Darren married me as a gay-identified man, having committed to believing that God called us both to be married, even though we weren't sure of our own sexuality. And here it is, the journey out of homosexuality. Jesus was Darren's conversion therapist. Yes, let me say that again in your terms. Jesus was Darren's conversion therapist. I was there to see the spiritual sanctification that Jesus did in Darren. And I was there when Darren grew month after month into a godly man, watching as Darren forgave those who bullied him into a gay identity and asked God to affirm him in his authentic identity. I was there when God revealed to Darren that God had given Darren a new heart and a new mind. And I was also there when Darren realized he no longer saw men as sexual objects to abuse them, but rather as brothers in Christ. And I was there when Darren's heart toward himself believed that he was fully a man among men and not any other type of man.
Thank you. Darren Mel.
Hello, my name is Darren Mell, and Rhoda testified of the work of God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ to transform me from death to life, from a sinner to a saint, and from a homosexual to a heterosexual. What happened? God convicted me of my sin and the consequences of it, and he made clear his desire that I would be saved and reconciled to him and made holy in Jesus Christ. I was personally convicted about the dehumanizing, emasculating, soul-destroying, harmful, unbecoming, unloving, and sinful behavior of sodomy. I then dared to question my gay sexuality, realizing that the sinful behavior was blocking my expression of love towards God, that I couldn't be sincere in obeying his commands if I kept on with sodomy. What is being promoted by HF16 is the idol of pride and licentious sexuality. That is what I repented of. Would a gay identified person be allowed to repent and be discipled by Jesus? No, because the truth of the Bible, which teaches sanctification through faith in Jesus Christ, that changes evil desires for sodomy to be rightly ordered in holiness to heterosexuality, is labeled as conversion therapy. HF16 makes it clear that Jesus is a conversion therapist and that following Jesus is a major form of conversion therapy and must be banned. Today, my brother in Christ, Matthew Gretsch, is facing fines and jail time in Malta for testifying of Jesus setting him free from homosexuality. The charges against him is advertising conversion therapy. The elephant in this room is that HF16 has the effect of labeling the Christian faith as bigotry and harmful. The expert APA report on sexual orientation change efforts has clearly framed the Christian faith as social stigma that causes harm to the LGBT. Everyone supporting HF16 would agree. However, God's truth is that the LGBT is only a person condemned of the sin of pride. However, they are offered repentance and redemption under restoration of their authentic heterosexual self as God designed for them. HF16 criminalizes God's design and will for mankind. It promotes pride as a social virtue and criminalizes humility before God. It tragically binds the LGBT to their sinful nature, and they are not allowed to repent and follow Jesus, seek God and holiness in their authentic self through discipleship or therapy. This bill will also criminalize the ministry that I'm called to as a pastor. It'll criminalize every parent who fosters a biblical identity in their children.
Please finish up.
Yep. It criminalizes the workmanship of God in our lives. Please do not vote for this bill, as it will put sin before God.
Thank you. Seal Dwyer, and then Elena Niehoff. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you so much. My name is Seal Dwyer. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. And I come to you today. I have a private practice in St. Cloud where I serve primarily the LGBTQ community, and specifically I'm a trauma therapist. And conversion therapy is trauma. It is classified as torture by international agencies. And to promote a therapy as a therapy means to heal, not to harm. This conversion therapy, this pseudoscience, harms people. And my clients who have been through it experience intense shame, suicidality, and other harmful effects for years, if not the rest of their lives. We have already had noted that conversion therapy doubles the risk of attempted suicide. Contrast that with evidence-based gender-affirming care, which reduces the risk of suicide by 73%. It's not even a contest. Conversion therapy is harmful, and 20 states and the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico and other places all over the world have already said this is no good, that this hurts people. It's time for Minnesota to do that. It's time for Minnesota to pass this bill and to make it so that we protect the citizens of this state instead of promoting harm. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Elena Niehoff, and then Dr. Kelsey Leonard Smith. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Madam Chair and the committee members, my name is Elena Niehoff. I'm a registered nurse from Rochester, Minnesota. I'm testifying in objection to Bill HF16. The Bill HF16 is going to be a disaster for the Minnesota families. It will cause grief to many parents and grandparents and the people of faith in the community. It is an assaulting. It's assaulting the truth of God's creation. There are only two genders, a man and a woman. Also, I would like to inform you that the state of Arkansas has a law called Safe Adolescents from Experimental Act, which bans the use of puberty blockers on children with gender dysphoria. The law prohibits physicians from providing puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and elective cosmetic gender surgeries to children under 18. I found this Arkansas law as the voice of reason in the midst of irrational thinking. This law was also supported by attorney generals of Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, and 17 states. 17 Republican attorney generals reasoned in their amicus brief that the peculiar vulnerability of children, specifically their inability to make critical decisions in an informed and mature manner, is listed as justification for state action. The state has the obligation to protect children from experimental treatments. Yes, they are still experimental. Please vote no on Bill HF 16. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Dr. Kelsey Leonard-Smith and then Bob Roby. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Kelsey Leonard-Smith. I'm the interim medical director at Family Tree Clinic in Minneapolis, as well as the director of the gender care clinic here in St. Paul at Minnesota Community Care. I'm also a proud family medicine physician. And in those capacities, I care for a very wide variety of LGBT people from around the state of Minnesota and also across the entire lifespan. I also have the privilege of caring for the parents and family members of many people as they all walk together on this journey of life. I'm here today in my professional capacity to speak very strongly in support of banning conversion therapy in the state of Minnesota. I think, as you've all heard time and again, conversion therapy is traumatic to young, vulnerable people and vulnerable young adults. It also, as I have seen in my own practice, has lifelong lasting effects. I care for a number of older individuals who experienced conversion therapy practices as young people and continue to suffer lifelong trauma reactions, stress, anxiety, and depression symptoms. I also want to disabuse you of the idea that this isn't happening in Minnesota, because I also have cared for young people who sought treatment for anxiety and depression symptoms, because the reality is it is hard to be a member of a minority group, and stumbled into offices of practitioners who were not able to meet them where they were, and unknowingly on the part of young adults or young people, or knowingly on the part of their parents, have experienced really substantial trauma from efforts to convert their gender identity or sexual orientation. I want to be clear that that's what we're talking about here. We are talking about vulnerable young people, vulnerable adults, and that is something that we need to care for those communities and ban this practice. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Bob Roby, and next will be John Robinson. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, committee, for your attention to this important bill and to the testimony today. There's been different definitions, I think, floating around with the testimony today. But my name is Robert Roby. I reside in Cambridge, Minnesota. I've been practicing law in the state for 30 years. My main focus has been family law, having served as a guardian ad litem during law school. I've worked heavily in the ADR field as a mediator, E&E provider, parenting consultant and expediter, regularly making decisions regarding services for minor children in very stressful situations. I author reports for the parties in the court, analyzing what's in the best interest of children. I'm familiar with this legislation, and I've testified previously on prior introductions of this bill, HF 16. This legislature has already granted rulemaking authority to the Board of Psychology in the state. So legislation would reach past the board's authority to ban what seems to be a straw man it calls conversion therapy, defined in the bill as counseling that, quote, seeks to change an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity, and then immediately excludes the counseling of a person going through gender transition from the definition. It favors conversion to another gender and outlaws counseling that supports acceptance of a person's present state. How can this possibly be the better wisdom? The legislation would not only ban protected speech, but also the direction of a counselor in the otherwise safe harbor of the counseling office. By intruding on the ability of any counselor to determine the needs of highly vulnerable clients. This population of clients is already known to have higher than average rate of self-harm and suicidal ideation. I cannot comprehend why we in this room would want to try to control what gets said to clients in that situation when the very speech being banned could make the difference in preserving the client's desire to live. I ask you not to make this dreaded mistake, particularly for the sake of the lives of the children who are in the care of those affected counselors in the state. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. John Robinson and then Pastor Nate Oilo. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. Welcome.
My name is
Committee.
John Robinson. I'm from Rochester, Minnesota, and I'm a father of five. And I like to watch things, done a lot of studying of civics. And one of the things that we are required to do is to not pick winners or losers, but to determine a set of laws for everybody. There is a senator in here that gave the wonderful and passionate speech earlier this morning concerning a series of laws that went through the Supreme Court in 1965, specifically with regards to medical professionals engaged in things of an intimate nature and their ability to give those services to their clients. Now, this particular thing propped up what later would be Roe versus Wade, and would later be the Supreme Court case that we just had here in the state of Minnesota not too long ago. So I guess it's not really that I'm against anything here. Well, I am, but I don't need to be. I'm just kind of very puzzled. What is it going to be? Do we have medical freedom? Do we not have medical freedom? If the court is going to determine the validity of these laws as we're going forward, on what basis are they going to determine what is constitutional and what is not? There's some other issues. I sent a thing to the person involved in assembling the group here. I'm not going to bother too much with that at this time. This primary issue, we need to remember what the purpose of, and maybe try to come forward and make sure whatever we're doing here, it's consistent, because we are here to create a just society for all individuals. We have a lot of different feelings about a lot of different things. We need to be consistent.
Thank you for your testimony. Pastor Nate Oilo, tell me how you pronounce your name. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. My name is Nate Oilo, and I oppose this bill. As an adolescent, I experienced same-sex attractions. Knowing that homosexual practice was inconsistent with my religious faith, I chose to explore options with the help of qualified mental health professionals and pastoral caregivers. I was not forced, I was not coerced, and I was not abused. In fact, I was honored and loved in that I was given the power of choice and the dignity to think for myself. In addition to professional and pastoral help, I also benefited from many books, curricula, and conferences that supported my desire to bring my same-sex attractions into agreement with my faith. 25 years later, I still look back fondly on all the resources that were available to me, all of which set me up to live the life I wanted. I'm very grateful to the therapists and pastors that walked alongside of me as a young person. And 25 years later, I've been married for 18 years and I have three beautiful children, and I wouldn't trade for the world. Furthermore, as a pastor, I've worked with many young people over the past 20 years who are questioning their sexual orientation or gender identity, and like me, wanting to bring their sexual orientation and gender identity into agreement with their faith. These young people were given the same love, honor, and dignity afforded me in my youth, the power of choice, and the dignity to think for themselves. Now, to be clear, no one on either side of this issue supports physical or sexual abuse, extreme shaming, or coercion as a means to help people with same-sex attractions. We agree these practices are wrong and they're already outlawed. We are simply asking that pastors and Christian therapists can have discussions with young people who are wanting to explore their faith and how their sexuality fits into all of that. There are many in this state who have found freedom from unwanted same-sex attractions and who are now enjoying marriage and family, and I stand with and for each one of them. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Christopher Morbitzer, and then Eli Wright. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair, members. Good morning. I'm Christopher Morbitzer from St. Paul. When I was younger, I dreamed of the life I would lead when I grew up. I wanted to help the overlooked and marginalized. I wanted to belong to an active faith community, and I strongly desired one day to have a wife and children, a family of my own. And when I began to experience sexual attraction to other boys and men, I knew that following that desire would not yield the life that I wanted for myself, nor was it consistent with my sincerely held beliefs. So I chose to see a licensed professional counselor to reconcile my beliefs and desires. Our sessions were consistent with modern evidence-based talk therapy. We discussed shame and addiction, my behaviors, and my desire to live consistently with my beliefs and choices. My time in therapy was transformational. I found that with professional help, I could and did change my desires. Therapy reduced my shame, fear, anxiety, and same-sex attractions, and this all occurred in an atmosphere of unconditional care, gentleness, and compassion. Stories of abuse and coercion pain me and certainly have no place in Minnesota. However, abuse and coercion is not what I experienced, and abuse and coercion is not what the text of this bill seeks to prohibit. The overly broad language of HF 16 would prohibit even the compassionate and voluntary care that I experienced. I found hope and happiness because I chose to change my unwanted sexual behavior and had the opportunity to find that help. My life and my story is possible because I made that free choice, and my counselor had the freedom to affirm and encourage me in that journey of my choosing. The proposed legislation before us would make my story illegal. It would snuff out my story in future generations, declare with a loud voice that I and others like me are not welcome in Minnesota. It would remove the freedom of licensed therapists who are already bound to a high standard of care from helping clients. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And Eli Wright? Welcome to the committee.
Luca Grappoli, her car broke down on the way, and so I request permission to read her statement.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. And please give your name again.
Yep. My name is Darren Mell, and Luca Grappoli is who I'm reading
for. Okay. Please, go ahead.
All right. We know that the APA has been taken over by a gay cabal with a gay agenda. They've admitted as much. In 2007, the APA rejected intelligent design. In that moment, the APA uncoupled their pursuit of truth, their science, from the objective truth of God. By doing so, they gave up the ability to determine what is normal or intended for mankind. They have adopted a godless fake science that now explores the spectrum of human experience. There is no more normal in the APA except that which is evidence-based, a deadly euphemism for probably true in a godless worldview. They've given up the creator and turned to the creation for truth. So, after 50 years of rejecting God, we've slid into gender spectrums, the sexual orientation spectrums, and now even neurodiverse spectrums. See, their science is missing the cornerstone of knowledge, our creator. Without the creator and intelligent design, there can be no diagnosis of disorder. Without the Creator, there is no order, only evidence of what is. Today, the assumption in this room is that science represents truth, but truth absent knowledge of the Creator and intelligent design is just blind guessing. Today, the evidence before us is how mankind has a sinful nature, and without God and his sanctifying power, we will all progress to embrace that which is pleasurable in the moment but deadly, sin. We'll exchange truth for a lie. We'll reject love as defined by God and replace it with man's love as love. Today, the spirit of lawlessness is at work in this bill. This bill represents licentiousness, that is, freedom without any moral or material boundaries. A word not often used today, it is straight from the pit of hell. As do as you will is the calling card of Satan. Today, I call all you rebellious Democrats to repent and vote no on this bill. You are currently practicing lawlessness. For example, in the last hearing, Heather Edelson admitted she knows that this is attacking religious freedom. She knows that Christian discipleship exists on the internet to help people leave the LGBT lifestyle, and she wants to stop it. For example, lawlessness. Representative Bierman knows that this bill is unconstitutional, but breaks his oath to uphold the Constitution. Lawlessness is cured by the humility before God.
Okay. And it is really inappropriate to call out members that way. Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone else? Let's see. I think Eli Wright is maybe not present. I don't know if. Okay. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify for or against the bill? All right. Seeing none, then I'm going to close the testimony on the bill. And we have an amendment, and so there is an A9 amendment in our packets. Does any member wish to offer the A9? Representative Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I bring forward A9, Amendment A9.
Okay, Representative Keel moves the A9 amendment. To your amendment, Representative Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A9 bans gender transition medical services for minors and vulnerable adults. It defines the gender transition medical services as medical or surgical services that assist an individual in transitioning physically to a different sex. Provides a definition cross-reference for healthcare providers, a person, hospital, or healthcare facility, organization, or corporation that is licensed, certified, or otherwise authorized by the laws of this state to provide healthcare, and prohibits the healthcare providers from providing gender transition medical services to minor or vulnerable adult. The exception is it doesn't apply to good faith medical decisions of a parent or guardian of the minor born with a medically verifiable genetic disorder of sex development, and specifies, like the underlying bill does for conversion therapy, that MA does not cover gender transition for minors and vulnerable adults. Members, I believe that we can all agree that we do not want to see somebody, child especially, or vulnerable adult, tortured, mistreated in any way. And I think my concern is, and hopefully yours is too, that we do not do a harm to a child. And when children are trying to figure out who they are anyway, they're trying to decide all kinds of things, what they like, who they are, what they want to do when they're older. There's just a lot going on in their minds. And as they are teenagers, it is challenging. And I think my biggest concern about this is we're not allowing them to speak to their counselor, director, hospital, doctor, whoever they're working with, to sort out what they need to, and by doing psychotherapy or talk therapy, which is a good way for a lot of people to figure out. You know, I do talk therapy. This is meant to be funny, if it's not. when I'm driving home because I'm irritated with my husband. So I managed to yell at him in the car. It works well. No one hears it. And when I get home, I'm happy to see him. And he has not, he's none the wiser.
He blew that, Representative Keel. He knows now.
Yeah.
You have made the public disclosure.
I have. I actually have told him that. I actually have told that story a few times. The point being is that it is a way for us to sort out, even as adults, what's going on in our lives, whether it's something that is just challenging or the seriousness of deciding where you are sexually. Are you male or female? And what your intent is. So I think, we don't want to have this conflict in that we are not concerned about young people. That is the most important, to help them and direct them. And my fear is that this bill will not allow certain thought to be said, certain doctors to give direction. Now, like I said in the beginning, we don't want torture. We do not want, some of the stories I've heard, I've not heard until I was here. They're terrible. Why would you do that to somebody when they're trying to figure out who they are? But I'm afraid that this bill is going to create an inability for us to work out with whoever we decide to work it out with, whether it's a counselor or a minister or all kinds of people that work in this area. So I'll move on. I would like us to support this amendment, Representative Hollins, and really consider what it is we're after here, I believe, to protect. And, I wanted to mention one other thing. I did some research, and we're talking about Europe and how they do all of this. They've rejected some of this. But Finland has discovered that the psychotherapy, the talk therapy, is a much better, effective way to help people than to control therapy in general. Scandinavia is discovering that what they had done before is not working as well. And I think we would do well to heed their research and where they're at. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. To the amendment, Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Chair Liebling, and this is to the amendment. First of all, I'll start off by saying that so often, I work in the homeless youth world, and so often we've worked with youth who have been facing decisions as to what to do. And a lot of times this is coming from the fact that so often society, we have dehumanized people who are different than us, particularly if they're in the GLBTQ area or if they're struggling with gender identity. So I want to say, first of all, this is happening on a regular basis. We've heard some of those things today that dehumanize people who are in these situations. And this is what causes a lot of stress for youth who are out there who are trying to deal with these issues because of what society is trying to impose on them. And they know it's not right. In terms of the amendment itself, is what we're looking at here and what I've seen so often is that when youth are not able to be met where they are and be who they truly are, they crawl into a shell. The studies have shown that those who do not receive the medical treatments are 73% more likely, or actually I should say those who do get the treatment are 73% likely, are 73% less likely to experience self-harm or suicide. I've seen that in time over the homeless youth community. So many people that we've dealt with over time fall into these categories because parents have been trying to force them into their way of thinking, trying to force them into being straight, being normal. And so many of those youth need help to try to figure out where they are. They need to be able to meet where they are and to guide where they're going. And talk therapy is not always the answer. Sometimes you have to do other things besides talk therapy, and this amendment would prohibit that. And I think the important thing is to take a look at is where's the science weighing in on this. And by Scientific America, which has done studies on this, U.S. News World Reports has gone over studies on this, have shown that the medical services that are out there in this area being applied are crucial to youth who are dealing with these issues, who are already under the care of a counselor, following the guidance of the youth that they're working with. And I think to prevent that, we'll just continue to increase suicides and self-harm out there. Instead, we should be creating an opportunity for them to receive the treatment that they need to be successful, to be who they are, and at the same time to help reduce the stigmas in society out there of people who may fall into this category.
Thank you. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And what I'm confused by is the idea that fluidity is unidirectional. Having been a parent, the children's desires, dreams, and their focus changes. And it should, because they should look at multiple things. I also realize that having lived in college housing and dorm life, there's a lot of experimentation and looking at different things. And frankly, where this is going is some of this is not really reversible. And children should not be making some of these permanent decisions until they're adults. In fact, I think a lot of people make their decisions in college or afterwards. So this amendment is basically just saying fluidity is not unidirectional. We should look at equivalently both sides, both ways, and treat them the same, which is consistent with the base of this bill, and just realize that we do have, for minors, a little different standard because, you know, they aren't ready. They haven't, lived and experienced all the things and know what they want to be when they grow up. So that's why I support this amendment, because then the bill is balanced in protecting children from changes that maybe in a few years, like a few of the testifiers testified about, they changed their mind. And my eldest son came to me and he decided to go to the dark side, and I wasn't extremely happy, but he did become a lawyer and pass the bar. Yes, that was meant as humor. But I just hope we could support this amendment. Thank you.
And Representative Quam, there's just no remedy for those kids who want to become lawyers. I've had that problem in my own family. Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative Hollins, for the bill. And I really appreciate the changes that you've made to the bill since the last iteration that we saw several years ago. I opposed that bill because it banned all conversion therapy. And my position was that, frankly, adults should get to pick if they want to do this kind of thing. And I do think that we should ban it for minors. So I'm on board with that, and I really appreciate that change and that recognition. I also, frankly, I asked my colleague to carry this amendment because I think that should apply across the board. That we absolutely, and I just said, we just gotta stop messing around with kids. We gotta stop messing around with kids in any way. And for me, that includes conversion therapy. We should not be doing that to kids. But it also includes saying kids should not make permanent decisions about their physical bodies. And so we should also protect kids on that front. And I would just say, you know, I mean, part of the problem we have in society general when it comes to this amendment or anything is that, you know, we can both sides this all day with the research, right? You know, I mean, Representative Fisher just gave some information, and here's some other information, right? That here's a study from the National Library of Medicine saying we found insufficient evidence to determine the efficacy or safety of hormonal treatment approaches for transgender women in transition. The study shows a gap between the current clinical practice and the clinical research. We need controlled cohort studies to assess the benefits and harms of hormone therapy. We just don't have enough data on that to understand. Another study in the National Library of Medicine, it concludes that the effect of hormone therapy on fertility is potentially reversible, but the extent is unclear. We just don't know. We just don't know. We hear all the time, particularly hormone therapy, it's all reversible, it's all reversible. But the data shows that we really don't know that. We really, it's not conclusive. We don't know that. And therefore, we should be extraordinarily cautious when it comes to our kids. Again, in my book, adults can pick. I mean, I know that everyone thinks I'm the evil Republican conservative in the caucus. I think folks would actually be quite surprised to know my personal experiences and relationships and friendships and whatever. But I absolutely think that we have a duty to protect kids from making very permanent decisions that in many cases cannot be reversed. And the evidence is inconclusive when it comes to hormone therapy, but it is certainly conclusive on other medical gender transition in youth. Certainly surgeries are irreversible. Sterilization is irreversible. It's permanent. And we should be very, very cautious in discussing these things when it comes to minors and when it comes to our youth. And you know, references have been made to what is done in Europe by some of the testifiers in favor of the bill. And I would just say, be cautious, right? And I know that some of the testifiers are familiar with the article because they were quoted in the article, but the New York Times recently reported that the overhaul of services for transgender young people in England is part of a real notable shift in medical practice across some European countries with nationalized healthcare systems. And they're concerned about the rapid increase in numbers without digging into the reasons why. And so again, while frankly, I could care less, and I would encourage everyone, go live your best life. And as adults, we get to choose those things. But as adults, we have a responsibility to ensure that for our youth, for our children, we are very cautious about the permanent implications of those decisions that, frankly, as Kwame said, is not, it's not one way. You know, kids, it's a time, particularly teens, even early 20s, it's a time of figuring out who you are in life and exploring and testing things out and figuring out who you are. And as all of us know, in our youth, some of those things stick, and thankfully some of them don't. I can certainly say that for myself. Thankfully some of them didn't. But I hope that this amendment is taken with the spirit with which it is intended. And that spirit is, along with conversion therapy, which I absolutely believe we should ban for minors, we should also ban permanent...
Okay, ma'am, you have to be quiet. I'm sorry. If you do that again, you're going to be asked to leave.
I'm perfectly comfortable with the criticism from my own side as well, but thank you, Madam Speaker, or Madam Chair. But we should also be very considerate when it comes to particularly these things that have permanent irreversible consequences.
Okay, so before we vote on the amendment, I just would like to make a couple of observations about the amendment myself. One is that the amendment is extremely broad. It includes banning even use of interventions to delay pubertal development in children, which by their very definition are not permanent. So it's an extremely broad amendment. The other thing I'd note about it is that it has some exceptions in it that are exceptions for people who have external biological sex characteristics that are irresolvably ambiguous, and another provision. So it is exempting some things that I would say kind of show that the amendment is that behind this amendment is somehow a notion that if you can't detect it with a microscope, it doesn't exist. And I find that really troubling because you know, that to me sort of says that the amendment is based upon something that I find really troubling, that you know, people who are transgender somehow, that it isn't real. And I think that's a very unfortunate kind of thing to be messaging here. I think it's false. And so I am going to urge members to vote no on the amendment. So so we are on the A9 amendment. And Representative Hollins, you haven't had a word on this yet. Would you like a word on it?
Yes, Chair Liebling, just if I could be very brief. So I think when this came up in the last committee hearing, I took it seriously, and I went and consulted with doctors who provide this service. I consulted with parents of children who identify as transgender and adults that I know who have transitioned to really get a deeper understanding of what we're talking about and what this process looks like. And I was told repeatedly by doctors and medical professionals that this is not something that they would typically do. There's age-appropriate gender-affirming care that is provided to children depending on their age, and that in fact most people who do transition have to work for years and years and years to be able to reach this threshold where they're able to be supported in their transition. So I just hope that we can calm down some of this rhetoric that people are going around and, you know, surgically altering children, because that just isn't factual based on my research, but also based on the conversations I had with actual practitioners. So I would encourage a no vote. Thank you.
All right. Representative Keel.
Madam Speaker, can I ask for a roll call, please?
You certainly may. So there will be a roll call. Is there any other discussion? Oh, Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Hollins. You know, I have an interesting, and hopefully they can hear me, perspective on this particular amendment. In the beginning of my career, out of college,
I'm sorry, Representative Bonner, I think you do need to kind of pull a mic close to you.
I worked at the University of Minnesota, and I worked specifically in the medical records department. And I do remember encountering some odd anomalies in the files of someone with what appeared to be the same person with the same birth date but a different name. And when I asked about that, I was told that that was usually what happened when there was someone who went through a surgical gender transition. And what I saw was that there were extensive volumes on that individual in which they underwent literally years of counseling to really be certain that that was their intent, that they were acting in the right state of mind, that they had all of those things in place before they would actually do a transitional surgery back then. And I can't imagine it has changed all that much since. And so I guess from that perspective, and when I tell you volumes, I mean we're taking up whole shelves of counseling notes and therapeutic notes and medical professional advice. So I guess on this particular amendment, I feel like the system is set up in a way that is really cautious and really careful about doing that due diligence, working through that journey with an individual before they go down that road. And for that reason, I intend to oppose the amendment today.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll on the A9 amendment.
Chair Liebling.
No.
Liebling, no. Vice Chair Bierman.
Bierman, no.
Bierman, no. Lead Schumacher.
Aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Akam. Akam, no. Representative Backer.
Backer, aye.
Backer, aye. Representative Bonner.
No.
Bonner, no. Representative Carroll.
No.
Carroll, no. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, no.
Elkins, no. Representative Fisher.
Fisher, no.
Fisher, no. Representative Hemmingson Yeager.
Hemmingson Yeager, no.
Hemmingson Yeager, no. Representative Herr.
No.
Herr, no. Representative Keel.
Keel, aye.
Keel, aye. Representative Murphy.
Murphy, aye.
Murphy, aye. Representative Nadeau.
Aye.
Nadeau, aye. Representative New Brindley.
Aye.
New Brindley, aye. Representative Perryman.
Perryman, aye.
Perryman, aye. Representative Quam.
Aye.
Quam, aye. Representative Ryer.
No.
Ryer, no. Representative Smith.
Smith, no.
Smith, no.
There being 8 ayes and 11 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. We will now move on to discussion of the bill, House File 16, and we are, staff told me to make sure to say it's the first engrossment as amended. So, Representative, is there discussion to the bill? Representative Nadeau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've spent some time on this. I wish maybe we would have had more time on the amendment. I think that the underlying bill, and I agree. Thank you for bringing it forward. For the most part, I think I'm in support of this. I don't think that there should be any therapies that are out there that are coercive, that are harmful. There's a lot that we don't know about a lot of these things, but the one thing that we do know is that affirmative therapeutic interventions that are patient-based are super important, and they actually produce outcomes on both sides of this. The question, I have a question and then a comment, Madam Chair. I want to find out from the author or anyone, does the bill prohibit specifically pastors, mental health professionals, from talking about the pros and cons of all therapies? I understand that it prohibits conversion therapy specifically as defined in this bill, but does it prohibit talking about those therapies?
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Chair Liebling, and thank you, Representative, for the question. So this was part of my closing remarks, but no, the bill does not affect religious or individual prayer practices. The restrictions only apply for paid-for services. Okay. So absolutely, an individual could still have a conversation with their pastor about where they are, how they're feeling, that there's no restriction on that.
And thank you.
Representative Nadeau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The only other thing that I'm going to add is that, I think the amendment that we just voted down was a good one. I think it went in a direction that we could have protected our kids, because I agree with Representative Brindley that this is about protecting children. This is about making sure that they do have that the therapies that they need, that we don't, and we don't let them vote. We don't let children drink. We don't let children, smoke. We don't let them drive until a certain age. And we see every day, I see every day in the work that I do, the number of children that are becoming, they're confused enough, they're hurt enough, they're lonely enough, they're starved for love. And I just want to make sure that, that we're protecting them in the best possible way. But I do have some concerns with some of what's later in this bill, but I do support the underlying premise that conversion therapy is a bad move for kids in the state of Minnesota. So thank you for bringing it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And we have Ryer, Backer, Quam. Others may want to get on the list, and then I'm going to, of course, let Representative Hollins have the final word before we vote. So Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I'd like to request a roll call.
All right. Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call.
Thank you. And thank you, Representative Hollins, for bringing this bill forward. I just want to comment on the my sense of the need for this bill. In the conversation about our LGBTQ youth, there is so much othering. There is so much saying, you're broken, there's something wrong with you, you need to be fixed. The way you feel isn't lovable. You must go seeking some kind of love that isn't good for you, rather than being your authentic, perfect, beautiful self as you were born. And so I honor this piece of legislation because it's protecting our kids from a type of bullying, coercive, damaging treatment. And as a recipient of a great deal of therapy in my life, I know good therapy and I know bad therapy. And I just want to stand up on behalf of kids and valuing our LGBTQ youth. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Backer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I agree that the amendment, which would really protect our kids more, I'm saddened that the amendment did not go on. As an EMS personnel, the most difficult runs that I have are with kids. In 28 years, I could write a book on that. One of the things, Representative Hollins, I still have not got my head around this. And please help me out with this. Last Thursday, and through committees on this committee, House File 1, House File 91, we heard that with great passion, that government needs to get out of the way of patient-doctor relationship. But in this bill, we're saying government knows best. This is how it's coming across. Help me why this is different, Representative Hollins. I still have not got my head around that. I would appreciate you your opinion on that.
Representative Hollins.
Sorry, I'm making sure the microphone doesn't go down. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair Liebling, and thank you, Representative Backer. And I appreciate that question. I really do think it's an important distinction that we have to look at. So really, when we're talking about conversion therapy, and especially in this bill, right, we've had a conversation about how adults can make a decision for themselves about whether or not they want to engage in conversion therapy and whether or not they would like to change their sexual orientation. Right now, we're just looking at children and vulnerable adults. And so, first of all, I think that children and vulnerable adults are somebody that we put into a higher level of care for government. We want to make sure that we are doing our best to protect those individuals who couldn't necessarily protect themselves. So I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing is that realistically, the conversations that we have with our doctors, with our trusted physicians, that's something that in general we put a premium on to make sure that people are able to have those conversations with their doctors. That being said, we absolutely do control what doctors are able to do and what they're not able to do, right? When we had our hearing in Human Services, I mean, the number of horrific stories that I know you were there for, you know, electroshock therapy, like hours of berating, forced rape, I mean, you know, therapeutic rape, quote unquote. These practices we know are not helpful. They are not acceptable and they are creating harm. So even when we look at comparing abortion to conversion therapy, when we are saying that, you know, I know there's a lot of conversations about a 13-year-old having an abortion, but the reality is asking a 13-year-old to carry a child to term and to birth that child could potentially create more harm than good in that situation. And so I think we really have to keep coming back to, where is the nexus between personal freedom, but also the harm that's created for an individual?
Anything further, Representative Backer?
And I appreciate that. And that's probably where we're going to disagree the greatest. And we've talked before. That harm to the infant that receives the abortion is the ultimate harm, and that's death, unfortunately. So I do appreciate you sharing your thoughts, and thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, Representative Holland.
Can I just correct the record?
Sure.
Abortions aren't performed on infants. They're performed on fetuses or potentially less, embryos.
All right, thank you. And we'll hopefully we'll keep the discussion here to the bill that's before us. So I have Quam, Smith, Fisher, and then I'm going to give Hollins the last word before we vote. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of clarifications. The author was referencing to therapeutic rape is things going on in the state of Minnesota. I thought all forms of rape were illegal in the state. So you're saying that there's legal rape that's currently going on?
Representative Hollins.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how to answer that question, but I will say that we had people who were testifying who said that they were subjected to therapeutic rape within the context of conversion therapy to convert them from being gay to straight.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm positive that that's already illegal. The author, Madam Chair, the author referenced paid services. So if an NGO is performing in it and it's not a paid service, is that then outside the bounds of your current bill?
Representative Holland.
That's my understanding. Yes, that's correct.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And Representative Quam, I just, you know, rather than a whole string of questions, if you could stick to a couple of them so that we can finish the bill.
I'm just going to close with, I understand where you're coming from on this, and I don't think it's, you know, the bill is quite ripe yet for me to support it. I think there is a more complete and balanced thing, because human individuals have a lot of variety, and I don't think your bill is addressing the complete area of this subject. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
Thank you. So I will be voting to support this bill. Thank you, Representative Hollins, for bringing it forward. Excuse me. I feel compelled as a Christian and as a person who considers myself religious to just recognize how strong religion is. And as a state, we recognize that that is a force that can be turned for good or for ill. It's why we give tax exemptions for many religious organizations, because we think they can be a force for good. But we see here now how in this bill and in these testimonies we've heard, that weapon can be turned into horrible negatives, specifically against youth in this bill. And again, as a Christian, I just wanted to read a portion of scripture that has been sent to me many times over the last couple of weeks. It's Psalm 139. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." Later on, it says, "You created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And I think it is a very important message to say. Within the bounds of Christianity, this is my personal statement, you are fearfully and wonderfully made if you are an LGBTQ youth. And you do not have to give up your religion to be who you are. Outside of that, I do also just want to say constitutionally, because there's been a lot of talk about the First Amendment, we have freedoms absolutely protected in that amendment, but it's not unlimited freedom. All of this is consumed under the preamble that we the people ordain this Constitution, and there's various things given there. Two of the ones that are necessary in this discussion is to ensure domestic tranquility and to secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. Our children can't enjoy the blessings of liberty in this country if they fall victim to suicide. And that is what this type of therapy continually has been shown to do, and that's why we're voting against it here. Yes, we have freedom to speech, but that does not mean we have the freedom to slander. We have a freedom to assemble, doesn't mean we have the assemble to riot. We have freedom of the press, but that doesn't mean the press can defame without stops and checks. And we have the freedom of religion, but religion does not have the freedom to harm. And at the end of the day, that is what this bill is about, is to check and make sure that children are not harmed. I will gladly support this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Hollins, for bringing this bill forward. I appreciate the work that you've done over the last few years on putting together a very encompassing bill, a bill that I will vote yes on. Some of the things that I want to call out very strongly is I like the fact that you're making sure that those undergoing gender transition are still able to receive that care, because we know from the studies out there that when people aren't able to receive that, they die. There's no doubt. We have records where children have died. And so if you really want to make sure that the kids live, which is pretty permanent when they kill themselves, you want to make sure that they have access to the medical services they need that will allow them to survive and live in life. And that's much different than this is, you know, when they have gender issues, that is guided by themselves. Much different than conversion therapy, which is something that has been shown to increase suicides, increase family breakup, and increase self-harm. So I want to thank you for the way you crafted the bill, and I support it.
Okay, so we have a couple more members. We do have a few more minutes. So Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to be clear about a couple of things. There's nothing in the bill that would define paid services versus unpaid counseling. Unless the bill author can point me to some language, I've gone through the language multiple times looking for that, but it appears to be silent on that. So I do think that there is a concern there. And I would also just say, you know, to Representative Quam's point that this is very one-sided. And I appreciate the testifier who said it. You know, I texted Danny in the middle of the hearing as he and I are the two that are like, you know what, we agree with this. But it is problematic that the language at the same time bans therapy that would help someone change, be different than who they are. And on the flip side, bans therapy to help someone accept who they are. So there are pretty serious inconsistencies in that. And I would just say, you know, I would just add, I did not offer this one before, but, you know, there was also recently a study that showed that for kids who undergo gender reassignment without a parent, that there are actual increases in suicidality for those kids who do so without parents. So again, I mean, we can both sides the research all day, but the bottom line is it's not conclusive. So for those reasons, this bill is not ready.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Hollins. You know, I'm a strong woman of faith, too, and I know that my grandmother, who helped raise me from a very young age, one of the things that she always emphasized was the concept of dignity and grace, recognizing the humanity in every person. And I don't understand why some people feel genuine and authentic as they are, and some do not. I don't understand that. And to be honest with you, I don't think we need to. I don't think any of us as legislators need to understand that. But what we do need to do is recognize the humanity in each other, to recognize that dignity and grace. And the practices that we are talking about here are so egregious that we have seen medical organization after medical organization denounce them.
and refuse to recognize them as legitimate therapy. These are sometimes physically, emotionally, physically, and even including sometimes sexually abusive practices. And I don't know about other folks and their faith, but I know I certainly would not want anyone practicing my faith to practice any of these particular things. And I know that I couldn't allow anyone in my faith to do so because it denies that basic humanity. It denies the basic dignity and grace in each of us. And so for whatever reason, some folks feel comfortable in their skin and some do not. I really don't think that's something for legislators to decide, but I do agree with Representative Hollins that it is something where we have to ensure that we are not doing harm, but that we are giving folks that dignity and grace to be who they are, because it has always been taught to me that the good Lord up above does not make mistakes. So we should help each other to have, to be their authentic selves, to be comfortable in their own skin, and to be who they are. That is, in my opinion, part of our journey on this earth. Thank you.
Thank you. And final word, and you could have a few more than one, Representative Hollins.
Thank you so much, Chair Liebling. And thank you to the members for a robust discussion that I think was had in good faith, and I really do appreciate that. So I wanted to address a couple of the things that we heard during testimony that I think need to be corrected. The notion of gay-affirming counseling. So the opposite of conversion therapy isn't gay-affirming. It's simply self-affirming. It's letting people know that they are okay exactly the way they are, whatever way that is, and however that way plays out over time, especially when you're talking about young people. I think there were some current concerns about people kind of finding themselves and figuring out where they are. And that's 100% what most counseling is doing, is helping you figure out where you are. The difference is we're not trying to push you into one direction or the other. We're just allowing you to be okay with who you are. The second one is concerns about criminalizing Christianity or any other religion. This, as I mentioned before, this bill doesn't affect religious or individual prayer practices and only applies to paid services rendered. But I'd also like to note that as much as we might want to compel our religious beliefs upon others, that's not the values that our country was founded on, and we don't have the ability to do that. So I absolutely respect everybody's religious traditions and whatever they want to do, but the reality is we can't force that upon anybody else. And certainly within the context of a professional, you know, a profession, we are not allowed to compel that on people. Finally, I just wanted to say that I know that there are young queer people watching this hearing because I heard from them after our last committee hearing, and I want to say to them that you are perfect exactly as you are. You deserve to live rich, fulfilling lives, being your full, authentic self. We see you, we hear you, and we aren't going to give up on you. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. So I will renew my motion that House File 16, the first engrossment as amended, be recommended to be referred to Commerce, Finance, and Policy. And with that, the clerk will take the roll on the bill.
Chair Liebling.
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Vice Chair Bierman.
Bierman, aye.
Bierman, aye. Lead Schumacher.
No.
Schumacher, no. Representative Akam.
Akam, aye.
Akam, aye. Representative Backer.
Backer, no.
Backer, no. Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Bonner, aye. Representative Carroll.
Aye.
Carroll, aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Fisher.
Fisher, aye.
Fisher, aye. Representative Hemmingson-Yeager.
Aye.
Hemmingson-Yeager, aye. Representative Herr.
Aye.
Herr, aye. Representative Keel.
Keel, no.
Keel, no. Representative Murphy.
No.
Murphy, no. Representative Nadeau.
Aye.
Nadeau, aye. Representative New Brindley.
No.
New Brindley, no. Representative Perryman.
No.
Perryman, no. Representative Quam.
No.
Quam, no. Representative Ryer.
Ryer, aye.
Ryer, aye. Representative Smith.
Smith, aye.
There being 12 ayes and 7 nays, the motion prevails, and the bill is on its way to the Commerce Committee. And thank you for the very respectful conversation today, members, about yet another topic on which people have a lot of feelings. Thank you very much, Representative Hollins, and we stand adjourned.